comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks. Welcome. Wherever you are, whoever you are, all around this beautiful planet, thank you for being here at Talk Radio like nowhere else on Earth. This is the show where you matter. And I like to point out from time to time why I say that. For one thing, don't you get tired of living in a world where everything around you tells you that you don't matter? Well, you do matter. Look, the universe doesn't, the universe discards and the universe recycles anything that it considers insignificant. The very fact that you're here proves you're significant to the universe. So that's one reason. Another reason is that many of our shows, in fact, most of our shows, are based on suggestions from our listeners. So many of the guests, many of the topics, it has come from you. You've sent me emails suggesting that we do a show with a particular guest or on a particular topic. It's not 100% that way. I mean, there are a few that I pick myself, but most of them come from you. And that's the case tonight as well. Tonight is K-Files night. And actually, we started sending out the K-Files. We did a test run with just a few last night. And it all came off without a hitch. But officially, tonight is K-Files night. And that means that immediately following the show, we'll begin sending out the K-Files, our free weekly newsletter. So if you are not subscribed, you want to be sure you do. It's absolutely free. There's no genius in being in the dark. And, you know, if you're getting the K-Files, then you get the information, the announcements, things that are coming up. You get the inside scoop. You get links to interesting videos. You get links to articles that are of interest and related to our genre. Always a free download, and it's free. It's free. So there's no reason to stay in the dark with the mushrooms. Come on out into the sunlight. And you do that by going to my website and just click where it says K-Files. And when you click on where it says K-Files, you'll be able to subscribe in a matter of seconds. You'll get a confirmation email, and you just click that link in the confirmation email, and you're done. That's it. You can do it all in a matter of a few seconds. And you can do it right now while you are tuned to the Kevin Smith Show live. And then if you do that and you confirm your subscription, then you'll get this edition of the K-Files. All right, fair enough. Tonight, the show is going to be in memory of America's manned space exploration program. Remember when we had one? Well, we're going to do something in memory of the American manned space exploration program. It used to be, and it used to be the best in existence. It's worthy of remembering. We'll be back right after this. right. Welcome back. We're going to do something different tonight, something I haven't done exactly this. I've done something sort of similar, but not exactly this ever before. One of our listeners came into possession of something really pretty cool. Years ago, the retired astronauts Memorial Fund, or the Astronaut Memorial Fund, produced a deck of kind of like trading cards, you know, like baseball cards or football cards, you know. And they produced a deck of cards, and it had to do with primarily the astronauts who had been to the moon, but also with future missions that were planned, and a few other things. And so each of these cards has something on it that is related to the man's exploration of space. Not necessarily the manned taxi service up to the International Space Station, but the manned exploration of space. I've got one of the cards here in my hat band, and you can see this has the picture of this one happens to be Gene Cernan. And then on the back of the card, it has, you can't see it probably, but there's some writing there on the back of the card and a little additional photograph, and it tells you something about Gene Cernan. But also other things having to do with manned space exploration. This one happens to be of one of the astronauts. Now, this deck of cards is pretty rare. According to the listener, who preferred to remain anonymous, these were produced, and then this deck was never released. All of these were pulled, never released out to the general public, and a different deck was produced and released in its place, because these had some interesting things on them, and I'll share at least one really interesting thing that he says, look, NASA was going to release this, and then somebody pulled the plug on it and said, no, we can't talk about that. But we're going to play a little bit of a game. Let me show you what this deck of cards looks like, okay? It comes in a box that has an interesting photograph on it. Those who are watching our TV channel can see this. I'll describe it for everyone else. This box has a picture of the face on Mars. And this face on Mars, of course, has been something that a lot of people have debated as to whether it's an artificial structure or whether it is, in fact, you know, the geological formation, just the accident of nature on Mars. And it's been a big debate. But it's included in this deck, and it's on the cover of the box. Now, we're going to do a couple of things here tonight. The first thing we're going to do is this member is offering a deck of these cards to you. Okay, now, according to him, you can't get these. You can go on eBay and you can find a deck of cards, but it's not this deck. You can find a deck of trading cards from NASA, but it's not this one. These were pulled. So he's got an extra set, still has the plastic or cellophane wrapper around the box. Brand new, never been opened. And he's going to offer it to whoever is the first person to sign up for an annual membership tonight. And we'll check it out, and we will announce during the show tonight, close to the end of the show, we'll announce who gets that. Now, he says that the value of this is at least $50 for this deck of cards. And, you know, the annual membership is $75. So, you know, if you're the first, one that does an annual membership tonight, you get that $50 value deck of cards. But we don't want to leave anybody out here tonight. We're going to give everybody a chance to win. So we're going to play a game. Yes, indeed, the Kevin Smith Show is now a game show. And the game is called Remember When. Now, for prizes, you know, we have some outstanding ebooks that we offer for sale on our site. And some of you already have them, but you can still play and win because the prizes will be these ebooks. All right? And we're going to give them away for free. If you win, and even if you've already got it, you know, you can give it to somebody else. All right? So that'll be a good deal, right? Even if you've already got it, you can give it to someone else as a gift. But some of you don't have these ebooks, and the ebooks are Mars Maximum Mystery. And if you have any interest in Mars, I think you'll find that ebook an eye-opener. Venus, Watch the Other Hand. There have been more missions to Venus than there have been to Mars, and yet there's very, very little reporting about it. Have you ever wondered why? More missions, less reporting. Why? What did they find? Well, this little ebook will open your eyes. We also have Captain Edward Ruppelt's book called The Report on UFOs. And, boy, it's an eye-opener as well. He's the guy that was the first head of Project Blue Book. He is the first, all right? And he had some very interesting things to say about UFOs. A lot of people think Project Blue Book was kind of a cover-up. I have a different opinion of it. I know there are people that have used it as a cover-up, but I don't think it was a cover-up. And when you read his book, you'll understand why. And then we have Walter Bosley's book called Latitude 33, Key to the Kingdom. Now, all of these are going to be given away as prizes tonight. And all you have to do is answer just a few questions that we're getting off of these cards. And we're going to start with the card that has the face on Mars. Okay? That's what we're going to start with. I don't know if you can see that, but it's got the face on Mars. And we're going to begin right there. Now, the way this works is when I ask the question, we're going to give you a few seconds to call our number with the answer. Now, you know, you could cheat, right? And some people will. It's just in their nature to be cheats. And they'll go to the internet and try to find the answer and then call in and try to win. And I don't have any way of policing that. And you know that. And so you can cheat. But should you? No, you shouldn't. All right? Let's be straight with this. And here's the card that has the picture of the face on Mars. All right, now, here's the question. Everyone all over the world knows about this face on Mars. We've all seen pictures of it. We've talked about it. We've read all kinds of papers that have been written about it. We've seen analytical photographs of it and read the analysis of the photographs. And so, I mean, we've really been through this, but now let me ask you this. Which nation on Earth is the first nation to recognize officially the face on Mars? The telephone number is 623-444-5889, and when you call in, just give me your answer. If you're right, we'll get your name, and if you're wrong, we'll just hang up and move on so other people can call in. Okay, caller, your first name, and where are you calling from?
Kevin from Beaverton.
Kevin from Beaverton. What is the first nation to formally recognize the face on Mars?
I'm going to guess Germany.
Good guess, but It's not Germany. Thanks for the call. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. And by the way, the prize for this, that we're giving away for this, is the ebook Mars Maximum Mystery, okay? By the way, you get the ebook, and you also get to watch the video of the show that I did based on that book. All right? Caller, your first name, and where are you calling from?
Yeah, good evening, Kevin. This is Kevin from Northern Alberta.
Hello, Kevin from Northern Alberta. I haven't heard from you for a while.
I've been busy.
I guess so. What's your answer?
I'd have to say the Soviet Union.
No, it's not the Soviet Union. Good try, though. Thanks. 623-444-5889. Who is the first nation? What nation on this planet is the first one to recognize the face on Mars officially? All right? Come on now. Think. 623-444-5889, or if you need to call me toll-free, it's 888-223-4599. Maybe I should do the little talk show theme. What do you think? Caller, your first name, and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Hi, Bob. Who's the first nation to formally recognize the face on Mars?
Okay, I didn't hear what the first caller said, so I might repeat it. If I win, I don't want a prize. You can redo that thing. I just want to see if I'm right. Is it China? And I'll hang up. Thank you.
Yeah, no, it's not China. Not China. This is going to surprise a lot of you. And this is one of the values of this card set. Is it's got all kinds of neat information like this on the cards that you won't get anywhere else. All right? Who is the first nation to formally recognize the face on Mars? One more. We'll give it one more attempt, okay? One more attempt. We think we know all about the face on Mars. Somebody give it a shot. Here we go. Come on. Da 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 da. Da 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 da. Ah, come on, give it a shot. We know it's not China, it's not Russia, it's not Germany. Who do you think it is? Caller, your first name, and where are you calling from?
Hi, Kev, it's Boomer Ladysmith.
Hi.
Japan?
No, it's not Japan. Not Japan. Okay, nobody.
Anyways.
Yeah, good try. Nobody wins that one. We'll give you a shot at that ebook here in a little bit with another question. But that one, this is going to be a shock to you. Are you ready for this? Well, here's one more person trying. We'll give them a shot before I give you the answer, all right? Caller, your first name, where are you calling from?
It's Haya from Vancouver Island, Victoria.
Hello, Haya. What's your guess?
France.
No, not France. Good try. All right. Oh, and by the way, you can call in on every one of these, all right? Just because you called in on this one doesn't mean you cannot call in on the others. You can, all right? All right, that one's closed. We'll move on to another question, but let me give you the answer. Are you ready for this? Sierra Leone. Is that a shocker? Sierra Leone. Sierra Leone formally recognized the face on Mars first before anybody else by putting it on a postage stamp. They made it a postage stamp in Sierra Leone. Is that cool or what? Okay, that one's down and nobody got it. All right, now this one has to do with a future mission. It's presented as a future mission. I'm not sure. I mean, maybe it is. Maybe they actually did it and we just don't know about it. That's always a possibility, isn't it? That maybe they did this mission and we just don't know. But this is, and it'll be hard for anybody on our TV channel to see this, but let's see. There we go. What you're looking at is you've got Mars in the background, and Phobos, its moon, in the foreground, and there's a base on Phobos. And this was based on, and well, I might do two questions on this one. this is based on looking into the future and, you know, plans to do an expedition to Mars, and they were going to build a base on Phobos. All right, here's the question. This is question number one about Phobos. Question number one is, their plan to build a base on Phobos as a supply base for Mars was actually based on a novel written by a former astronaut. He never flew. He was a science astronaut, but he never flew in space. He left the program before he flew a mission. He wrote a novel, and that novel was the basis for this plan to build a base on Phobos. What is the name of that astronaut? Okay. So, the telephone number is 623-444-5889. I'll give you a hint. It's a name I bet every one of you know. It's a name I bet every single one of you know. 623-444-5889. Play the game. You cannot come away with less than you came with. You're risking nothing. All right? It's not a game of risk. And you stand to gain. Now, for this one, what we're going to give away is Latitude 33, Key to the Kingdom. That's the prize. And it's yours. You walk away with that fabulous book by Walter Bosley if you get this one right. Come on, somebody out there has a guess. What's the name of the astronaut who wrote the novel that this mission was based on? We'll give you a chance to think about it. We have a break taking over. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back, and we're playing Remember When in memory of the Manned Space Exploration Program of America. And there's some pretty interesting facts on these cards that were produced by the Astronauts Memorial Fund. And according to our donor that donated these cards to us for use tonight, this set of cards has never been circulated. The question that is under consideration right now, and this is the one we're playing for, is who wrote the novel that this planned, at one time it was planned, mission to build a base on Phobos? They put that plan together based on, got the idea from, the novel. Who wrote it? And we have a caller and contestant, if you will. Tell us your name and where are you calling from.
Hi, Kevin. It's John from Vancouver Island.
Hello, John.
I'm guessing. I don't think I have it right because I can't think of the other person's name. But what I'm thinking of is Brian O'Leary.
Well, you are okay, John, here's what you do. It is Brian O'Leary. What you do is send me an email so that I can send you the link where you can download this book and watch the video. Okay?
Very cool. Thanks very much.
All right. John gave it a spin and comes up a winner. Brian O'Leary. Now we have another question based on that same mission. Then, as far as we know, they never flew this mission, but then again, we don't know everything NASA does, do we? One of the reasons that they wanted to put a base on Phobos, according to the back of this card, right here is where it says it. I'm going to give you the answer. Ready? Here it is. Read it. Okay, you couldn't read it, could you? Okay. Studies of Phobos have found that it is rich in carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, rich in oxygen, and something else. What is the something else? What we're playing for here is Captain Edward Ruppelt's report on UFOs. All right? It's a fabulous book, and it's the one you look. Captain Ruppelt wrote the book, and then when he was 38 years old, he died. And you know, I did that last night. I don't know why it does that. I really don't, because we turn it on and off over here, but something's weird. But then after he died, they released the book again, but this time it had three additional chapters in it. They never said it's a revision. They never said a word about it. They released it as if it was his book. Well, this is the one that definitely is his book, all right? And it doesn't have those three additional chapters. Those chapters poo-poo everything that was written in the original book. This is the original book, and the question is, studies have found that Phobos is rich in carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, and something else. Caller, your first name and from where are you calling?
I'm Leslie from Forest Grove, Oregon.
Leslie?
Yes, Leslie, uh-huh.
Okay, Leslie, what's your guess on this?
Hydrogen?
No, Leslie, but here's a hint for everybody. That's part of the answer, but it's not the answer, okay? All right, that would be a part of the answer, but it's not a chemical called hydrogen something, okay? All right, caller, your first name and where are you calling from?
Kevin from Beaverton.
Hello, Kevin. What's your guess?
H2O.
H2O. You mean water?
Yeah.
Kevin from Beaverton is a winner. It is water. So, Kevin, what you need to do, send me an email, and so that I'll know how to reply or who to reply to, and I will send you the link to this book and to the video so that you can watch it, okay?
Okay.
All right. Kevin goes away a winner. Is that amazing, folks? Studies of Phobos show, and it's a moon of Mars, that it's rich in carbon, nitrogen, rich in oxygen, and water. Rich in water. Now, that's something we haven't heard a lot about. And there it is on one of these cards in this deck. And this deck can be yours, you know. We've had a fresh deck, one that's still wrapped in the cellophane wrapper, donated to the show for the first person who does an annual subscription. Now, let me say this. If you do an annual subscription tonight, and you're not the first one, you're still going to win, because what we're going to do is we're going to package all these ebooks up, and you get all of them as a thank you for subscribing tonight, okay? All sponsored by one of our listeners, all right? All right, now this one has to do with an astronaut. I'm not going to hold the picture up for very long, but you can see it's a picture of an astronaut. And we're playing for Venus, Watch the Other Hand, all right? Venus, Watch the Other Hand. Let me make a note here very quickly, and then we'll play. All right, here we go. Which astronaut is the only astronaut from the days of the Mercury program. Now, remember, the Mercury program was our first manned space program. Okay, that's, I don't, have you ever seen a Mercury capsule, an actual Mercury capsule? I have. And it's a little bit hard to believe that anybody went into space in one of those things. It's about the size of a Volkswagen Bug. And, I mean, it was a little bit like flying, setting a beer can on top of a rocket and flying in space in the beer can. I mean, that's about what it was like. Those guys really had the right stuff, I can tell you. All right, which astronaut from the days of the Mercury program was the only Mercury program astronaut to walk on the moon? All right. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. If you'll tell us your first name and where you're calling from, we'll get your answer.
My name's Terry from Arkansas, and Shepard.
You think it was Shepard?
Yes.
All right. Well, what makes you think that Alan Shepard is the astronaut from Mercury that was on the moon?
Just something way back in the recesses of my aged brain tells me so.
Well, let's see. Alan Shepard is the first American in space. He's also the only astronaut from the Mercury program to ever walk on the moon. You are right. Okay, and you win Venus Watch the Other Hand. Your name is Terry?
Terry, yes. If you look in the chat room, T-Man.
Okay, well, Terry, you need to send me an email, and I'll respond to it with a link where you can download this book and where you can watch the video that goes with it, all right?
Thank you very much.
All right, congratulations. Another winner. Lots of winners here at the Kevin Smith Show. Remember when? The new game show. Remember when America was in the manned exploration of space business. All right, this next one will be for Mars, Maximum Mystery, all right? Now, this is a hard one. This one will be a little bit hard. I'm actually going to show you this guy's photograph if you're watching our TV channel. Okay, that's the guy's photograph. There's a hint. This is the only philanthropist. He's not an astronaut. He's not officially affiliated with NASA. He is a philanthropist. And he is the only philanthropist in this card deck. Now, the reason that he started a program to fight world hunger. And he started that program at Brown University. But he's included in this deck because he also wrote a column that was being published. Maybe it still is. I don't know. But he, in his column, supported the manned exploration of space, particularly a mission to Mars, a manned mission to Mars. He was a huge proponent of this manned mission to Mars, and he wrote that it is absolutely necessary that America have the first man on Mars. And, you know, I'm not real sure why he had that, but he said the opportunities awaiting those first to land on Mars are so vast that no other nation should be the first to land on Mars. I'm not sure that a lot of people would agree with that, but that was his opinion, And about 400,000 people agreed with it. They were regular readers of his column, and they became strong lobbyists for manned exploration of space. So he's included, they've included him in this deck of cards. What is his name? All right, now that's a tough one. That's a really tough one. And let me get some reading glasses here and tell you a little bit more. He's a key figure in the exploration of outer space. He wrote Man's Greatest Enemy, which is about world hunger. He's the founder of the World Hunger Program at Brown University. And I'll even give you his first name. It's Alan. All right? Come on. Take a guess. Who is this philanthropist that was such a champion? I know this is a hard one, but he was a champion of manned exploration of space. I'm sure he was disappointed when NASA canceled their last two missions to the moon. Never really explained that. They said budget cuts, but they had already paid for and built the rockets and already paid for the missions, picked the astronauts and trained them. That was a done deal. It was already paid for. And, it's not like you can take your rocket back to customer service and get a refund. So, why they didn't fly the last two missions, nobody really knows. But you have during this break to think about this. You ready? Think about it. Who is this guy? Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking tonight. But we're playing a game during this first hour, anyway. We're going open line in the second hour. But the game is Remember When, and what we're remembering fondly are the days when America had a manned space exploration program. And back then they were talking about all kinds of wonderful things like more exploration of the moon and bases on the moon and bases on Phobos and bases on Mars. And they knew it was possible and then stopped. So this guy was probably very, very disappointed. He was a great champion of the manned space exploration program. He was a columnist. And I know this one's pretty hard. We're going to give it another few seconds here, and somebody can make a guess, I'm sure. His first name is Alan. He's a philanthropist, but he's also a columnist and a fairly famous columnist. His readership was 400,000. So that's pretty significant. Who is he? All right, now we're playing for Mars Maximum Mystery. That's the prize. And you've got a shot at it. We'll give it a second or two. Somebody out there surely has read this guy's columns. With 400,000 people reading his columns, somebody remembers. Alan, what's his name? Huh? A lot of people, he had to be disappointed, but a lot of people have been sorely disappointed in NASA when they yanked the moon missions and never went back and frankly never went anywhere else. I guess that was kind of the beginning of the end, or maybe it was just the end. It took a long time for somebody to just pull the plug on them and say, okay, that's it. So no more moon missions. We can't go to Mars. Can't build the craft to go. It's too expensive. And NASA's doing important work, though. I mean, they have rovers still on Mars. They have a couple of satellites around Mars. But manned exploration of space, that's history. All right, caller, your first name and where are you calling from?
It's Steve from Canada.
Steve, what's your guess?
Feinstein.
You are correct. Let's get some applause up here for you. Alan Sean Feinstein, or Feinstein. I don't know which way he pronounces it. Have you ever read his columns?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Steve, here's what I need you to do. I need you to send me an email. And then I can reply to it with the link for you to download Mars Maximum Mystery and be able to watch the video that goes with it, okay?
Great, thanks, Kevin.
All right, Steve's the winner. I got to tell you, I really didn't think anybody was going to get that one. I really didn't think anybody would get that one. All right, now, this deck of cards... it's pretty cool. I know you cannot see it. You can't tell. But each picture, it's not just printed on there. It's embossed. I don't know. It's not going to show up even for those on the TV channel. But these are embossed. Okay, these are not just printed. And there's a lot of cool stuff. But, you know, what's really cool about this are the little facts... especially these planned missions and planned bases. And it has little factoids on there, like we read about Phobos. And things that we don't hear. Okay, and I'm not saying that it's something that they just purposely kept quiet. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. But the deal with Phobos, think about that. Rich in oxygen. Rich in oxygen. What's interesting about that is they're admitting it about Phobos. But they don't admit it when it comes to Mars. Now, folks, I've done several shows on this, and in fact, when you take a look at Mars Maximum Mystery, the ebook, and you also watch the video that goes with it, I go into this. When the Viking mission happened back in 1976, what they discovered was that there was a huge amount of oxygen in the soil on Mars. Now, they've just recently completed, within the past couple of years now, this global lander, this polar lander. You know, they called it the Phoenix, and it landed near the North Pole of Mars. And, you know, they've always told us that water in liquid form cannot exist at the surface, because of the atmospheric conditions. They say that it goes straight from ice to vapor, and it doesn't even pass through the liquid state because the atmosphere is too thin. It's so paper thin that liquid just can't exist. And in that mission, and I show you this in the book, in that mission, the lander took a photograph where the camera was pointed at the surface of Mars, pointed straight down. And in that photograph is one of the legs and foot pads of the lander. And on the leg of the lander are water drops that have formed, condensed and formed on the leg of the lander. Water drop, liquid water, right down at the surface. Right? I mean, the foot pad is there, and then the leg is coming up off of the foot pad, and right on that leg by the foot pad That's about as close to the surface as you get. There's liquid water. Another thing they don't tell you is what was found in the soil, because they scooped up some of the soil and put it into what they call a TEGA experiment, T-E-G-A. And basically they bake it, and then the sensors sniff the vapors coming off of that, and they analyze it for what's in it. What they told us was it had perchlorate in it, but that is not what the TEGA test showed. The public statement was it had perchlorate and therefore could not have life. And that is absolutely untrue. Absolutely untrue. Because their own TEGA readings, which were on the internet and now you can't find them, but the TEGA graphs didn't show perchlorate. It didn't show any, look, perchlorate, that's chlorine. It didn't show any chlorine. What they did show is a gigantic spike for oxygen. What's interesting about these cards is on the back of that one that's about the Phobos mission, it has the fact, a little factoid, that Phobos is rich in water. Whoever told us that? Got a lot of water on Phobos. It's rich in carbon, nitrogen, and rich in oxygen. Well, they tell us this about Phobos, and it's hanging in the sky right there next to Mars. But they don't tell us, they do everything they can to not tell us that Mars is rich in oxygen. It is rich in oxygen. I've done this before. I got to do it again. Here we go.
What we have found, in fact, is something like 15 times as much oxygen in that atmosphere as we can account for from known sources.
Okay, now that's Dr. Klein, Harold Klein, and he was the chief biologist for the Viking mission in 1976. That is Dr. Klein himself speaking about what they found on Mars. Listen again.
What we have found, in fact, is something like 15 times as much oxygen in that atmosphere as we can account for from known sources.
Hmm. What do you think about that? We found 15 times more oxygen than we can account for in that atmosphere on Mars. You got to get these cards. You got to get them, and they're not for sale. All right, we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. I want to thank everyone who participated in our game show. Everybody that made a guess, thank you. And thanks for participating. Congratulations to all the winners. And let me remind you again that this deck of cards is it's rare. You cannot just go out and buy this deck of cards. It's kind of a collector's item, and one of our listeners has donated a fresh, unopened, untouched deck to the first person to make an annual subscription tonight. If you join our members area tonight on an annual subscription, that's $75, and that's, by the way, the least costly way. It's not costly at all, you know, but If you join where you pay every month, it's 23 cents a day. It's less than that if you go annual. And but in addition to that discount, you also, the first person who does an annual subscription tonight is going to get that collector's deck of these cards, and these are put out by the Astronaut Memorial Fund, okay? And let me do this. Okay, so those who are watching our TV channel can see what that deck looks like, all right? It's in a box that has the face on Mars, and the first person to do an annual subscription tonight gets that as a gift from this other listener. And then if we have others who do an annual subscription tonight, what we'll do is we want to make sure that we give you a thank you gift too, and so we'll give you all of those ebooks. And by the way, the first person who does an annual subscription, you get that deck of cards and you get all of those ebooks. All right. And then everybody that does an annual subscription tonight gets all of those ebooks. And that's being sponsored by our listener, our benefactor tonight, and our thanks to that person who wishes to remain anonymous. So, Mr. Anonymous or Ms. Anonymous, thank you very much. All right, we're going to go open line, and we'll talk about whatever you wish to talk about, anything that's on your mind. We'll be more than happy to talk about it here tonight. Maybe you want to talk about a guest that we've had. Maybe you want to talk about a show that we've done. Maybe you want to talk more about that first language stuff from last night. That was pretty interesting stuff, wasn't it? Or maybe whatever is on your mind, maybe it's the UFO sightings, a string of sightings now, 8 sightings, I believe, around airports, near airports in China. Whatever it is that's on your mind, give us a call, as long as it's within our genre, which is the world of the strange and unexplained. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin from Beaverton.
Hi, Kevin.
I was just curious if you've gotten any of the emails yet.
No, I have not gotten. I don't check the emails during the show.
No, I meant the ones from a couple days ago with the Area 51 alien disclosure stuff.
Oh yes, yes, with the pictures, the big giant picture. Someone sent me one of those. I don't recall. I remember now what you're talking about. No, I have not received that. Have you sent it again?
Yeah.
Try it again. You know, I don't know. Since we had that crash, things have been sort of out of whack. And that includes the spam filters we had to reinstall, and they may be eating your email. I will do a download. If you'll send me that again, I'll do a download of email without using the spam filters to make sure I get it.
And I was also wondering if you've done anything with, I think her name's Dolores Cannon.
No, I have not. I've received several emails requesting that I get in touch with her. And I don't have an excuse other than I've been extremely busy. I just have not gotten in touch with her yet.
Okay. It's like there's a hour and 51 minute show that's recently posted on YouTube, and I found it very fascinating.
What did you think was most fascinating about it?
Well, one of the things that she was talking about was how some people that may have been aliens from like a different time, and how their bodies are adjusting, and like a couple of the symptoms I actually have, and I find that very shocking.
Uh-huh. So do you suspect that you may be from somewhere else?
To a small degree.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, it may be. Would that be something, if you were to find out that you are not from this planet, or if you were to find out that you are a hybrid, would that be something that would be earth-shaking to you, or would it just sort of be cool and okay with you?
It would be cool and okay, and to a big degree make a lot of sense.
So it would make some things fit that don't fit right now, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think I consider myself an oddball when compared to a majority.
Well, I think being an oddball is good. You know, I think that means you're an individual. My grandfather used to raise cattle. And he raised a breed of cattle called Herefords. And I could walk out into the field, and there could be like 40 or 50 of them out into this field, and they all looked exactly the same to me. And, you know, that's okay with cows, but that's kind of boring with people. And so, you know, I think every one of us is a little bit odd in some way if we just will express who we are. And when you've got a group of people and they all seem like they're homogenized, it's simply because they're suppressing who they are. So being an oddball is not a bad thing. Kevin, thanks for the call, man. I hope you find the answers.
Yeah.
All right. 623-444-5889. We are open line. Toll free is 888-223-4599. And that works in the USA and Canada. If you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, I don't have a toll-free number out there. Our main number will work for you. You can call it from anywhere on planet Earth, 623-444-5889. But if you don't want to make the international long-distance call and you're outside of the USA, you're outside of Canada, you can use my flash message feature on the website. I've gotten a lot of email in the past 24 hours about that show we did last night, related to the subject of the first language. And I've been pleasantly surprised. I've done shows like that before, and then I get a flood of email from people who are, you know, they're faithful listeners to the show, but the topic steps on something they already believe, and they get upset. And so far, I haven't gotten any of those. Everything's been very supportive of that show. And maybe that's something we should do more often. We'll see. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, it's Mike from Kentucky.
Hey, Mike.
Just want to let you know the banner is working fine in the chat room.
Good deal.
The numbers flashed right up there, sir. It's flashing about every 3 to 5 minutes.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, it is. And shows the chat room's been very fastidious about calling in tonight, and they did some good stuff, good work on that quiz of yours.
Well, I tell you what, you know, that I appreciate that, and but I'll tell you, this deck of cards will roll your socks down. When you start looking at the little factoids they put on the back, there are things you never dreamed NASA would ever put out. And apparently, this deck of cards got printed with those factoids, and then someone at NASA or above NASA said, oh, no, we can't put that out. And they pulled them. Some of these little factoids on the back of these cards are real eye poppers. Did you, before tonight, did you know there's water on Phobos?
I'm not sure that I did know that, Kevin. I wouldn't want to say yes.
But I know about those cards, and I thought at one time I was going to get a deck of them, but, you know, that's neither here nor there now. But I know the information on it you're talking about, and I'm aware that there's a lot of information in those cards that are not on the regular decks that people get.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. All right, Mike. Thanks for the call, man.
You take care, Kevin.
All right. Okay, 623-444-5889. Mike mentioned the chat room. We have a chat room in our members area. That's one of the cornucopia of features that you'll find in the chat room. I mean, in the members area. We have chat room. And we have a group of our listeners that are in the chat room every night during the show. And it's a lot of fun, you know. I usually say that chat rooms are today's version of CB radios. It's just everybody's in there, and it's a free-for-all and lots of fun and meeting people from literally all over the world. Okay, it's open line. What's on your mind? Maybe there's a guest that we've had on, and you've got either a question about that guest, a concern about that guest. You think maybe that guest was dead wrong about something. Or you think that guest was right on target. Maybe it's a topic that we've talked about. But either way, this is BYOT, Bring Your Own Topic Night. Wherever you are, from coast to coast, from north to south, east to west, all the way around the planet, this is your time. And, you know, a lot of times people say, I would call in, but, you know, I've tried and you just can't get through. Well, we do stay pretty busy on the phones. But on BYOT, Bring Your Own Topic, we have more telephone time available. So this is your chance to give it a shot, all right? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Dave from beautiful old downtown Pahrump.
Dave from Pahrump.
Yeah.
What is on your mind, Dave?
The UFO sightings in China. Let's talk about that for a minute.
All right, shoot.
Well, I just took a look at several things, and it has two major UFO sightings on first on July 7th and 8 days later on July 15th. Four lantern-like objects forming a diamond shape. Makes you wonder if that's not perhaps the same thing that caused that spiral in...
In Norway?
Norway.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, you know, when these appear over the UK, they always say, well, it was Chinese wedding candles.
Right.
So now they're appearing in China. Maybe they're British wedding candles.
It could be, because when you look at that video on July the 7th, that's interesting.
Was it a spiral?
No, it's...
Oh, you're talking about the one that shut down the airport.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm watching the video right now of it. It lasts for 2 minutes and 35 seconds. But things like this, I think, are going to get more common. Because the PTB want to keep people upset. So, see, what are we going to do next? Well, next we're going to bomb Iran, which will be a fatal mistake, because China and Russia have told Israel and the United States, if you attack Iran, we're going to attack you. End of discussion.
Well, I'm not so sure we're going to do that. I hope we don't. But, you know what I wonder, and I asked this of Robert Hastings the other night, I wonder if the UFOs are becoming more active because we have more nations joining the nuclear club.
That may well be. But that definitely appears to be a real object that's moving across the sky, but I wish you would have kept it closer to the ground so we could get a relationship between the ground and it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I've read, you know, several explanations of that where people give expert opinion. And you know what expert opinion is?
That's a person who knows everything about something and nothing about everything else.
Well, an expert is ex spurt. That's a former drip. A former drip under pressure. Anyway, I've read these expert opinions, all saying, you know, that, oh, well, it was a secret Indian aircraft, super high technology. And then I've read one that said, you know, it was private aircraft. Private aircraft, come on, give me a break. That's China. They have very few private aircraft. And private aircraft don't look like that. They don't perform like that. They don't behave like that. I've read that it was, I read one that said it was probably a meteor. Meteors don't have red lights along the side, evenly spaced.
They don't go that slow either.
Yeah. So, you know, and one said it was a missile test fired from Kyrgyzstan. Robert Morningstar has a good article about that. Because of the time zone differences, there is no, absolutely no possible way that a missile could be fired at any time of the day in Kyrgyzstan on the date when they said that missile was fired and show up at the time this showed up in China. It's just an impossibility because of the time zone differences. But anyway, I think it is what it is. And, you know, I don't buy that it's a hoax. I don't buy the, any of the other stories. I think it is what it is.
I agree with you. So what else is new and exciting?
Well, I was just about to ask you what's happening in the metropolis of Pahrump tonight.
Oh, not a whole lot. I'm just working on computers and listening to your show and taking care of my canines and going to do another interview or another intro for Joseph Insurance Group next Friday.
Okay, after the show tonight, will you call me?
You betcha.
I need to talk to you. All right, thanks.
You got it. Talk to you later, my friend.
All right. That was Dave Corso, who's been a guest on this show. 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889, or toll free 888-223-4599. We'll talk about whatever is on your mind. This is BYOT, bring your own topic. What about disclosure? You know, we're not hearing a lot about that anymore. There's very little being said about that. Maybe that's on your mind. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Good evening, Kevin. It's Jackie from Florida.
Hi, Jackie.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
Those questions were tough, Kevin. Very tough.
But see, that's information that
is
not out there, you know, in the general population, and it's on those cards.
Yes, it was just fascinating. The reason I called was I was just kind of looking back through my notes, and I wondered how your new e-book is coming on the Central Bureau of Astronomical Telegrams, the CBAT. I thought that sounded like such a fascinating topic.
It is coming along. The first draft of it is done. But as far as being able to go back and edit it and get it all spiffed up and ready, I haven't had the chance to go back and do that. I've been fighting lots of other fires.
Well, you should have time. What with the moving, the rebuilding the computers, I don't see why you haven't finished that e-book, Kevin.
Well, yeah, you're right. You know, I still do not have everything unpacked.
I bet.
Yeah.
I bet.
So it's, well, you know, the only thing I have unpacked is what it, the bare minimums I have to have for broadcasting. Everything else is still packed.
Okay, well, I hope you find more time, but remember to rest, too.
Okay, I will.
Okay.
Thanks for the call.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah, I have finished the first draft of that book. It's all about the secrecy regime to keep you from knowing what's going on out there in space. There really is one. And one of the things that kind of got me started on that is I hear it on the show a lot. Well, you know, with all these astronomers and everybody looking at the sky all the time, you would think if there really were UFOs out there, they would be telling you. Okay. So I decided to take a look at that and found out there is actually a regime in place that guarantees they won't talk. And it's worldwide. It does exist. We know exactly who's behind it. We know the name of the organizations. And we know the protocols that have to be followed before anything is announced. We also know that astronomers around the world back in 1973 found several minor planets in our solar system, and that the regime for secrecy actually suppressed that information in their annual report published in 1974. It was the annual report for 73. They admit this, and they say they made the decision to, and they use the word, suppress this information. So there's more planets in our solar system than you know about. There are more, not fewer, more. And they decided to suppress that information. That's why you don't know about it. So that's what that ebook is about. And it is finished as far as the first draft. But it has to be edited. And the editing, of course, is not just spell checking. Editing is really a rewrite. And beefing it up in some places and slimming it down in others. So that kind of is a major project. And I'll get to that as quickly as I can. We have a break coming up. And when we come back on the other side of this break, during the break, you be thinking about the topic you want to talk about, all right? The topic you want us to talk about. And then you give us a call on the other side of this break. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're open line this hour. And caller, your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Ryan up in the great state of Washington.
Hi, Ryan.
How you doing?
Good.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people that are saying that you look a lot like Jim Belushi from the Blues Brothers band.
If I just had some sunglasses on.
Yeah.
How's that? Is that a little better?
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
Yeah, there's people that are, you're creating waves, Kevin, because people are are talking about this new style that you're the new hat. The new style that you're developing. It's creating a lot of waves in the world.
Oh, well, that's good. I want to create some waves, and I hope I could get the I hope I can get the income of the Blues Brothers.
Well, if you'd fit right in, I tell you that. what I wanted to talk about was BP.
All right.
You know, I had seen a video and this lady I forget where I saw it. But she went up and took a look at the coordinates of the so-called BOP or the well that BP is telling us about, and she pretty much proved that the coordinates are wrong, that they're giving us the wrong camera, the wrong location, And so what I'm saying is that if anybody dares to go up and or has some time on their hands to go check the coordinates, I bet you will find out that they're not giving us the right, they're showing us a different well or a different area than the one that has caused all this leak. And I just, the lies continue because we know that BP has Photoshopped now several pictures. They Photoshopped the so-called control center. They Photoshopped three or four different photographs. And so we can't tell what we're seeing is true or not. And I just wanted to bring that up.
All right. You know, it would not surprise me at all. It would not shock me at all if we were to find out that, in fact, they're showing us something other than the real problem. And here's why. The government has made it a felony for anybody to get close enough, for journalists even, to get close enough to videotape really what's going on. It's a felony. And they actually have a journalist under arrest on that, a freelance journalist. But it's a felony. And the fine is $40,000. And on a felony charge, the minimum jail time is 1 year. The minimum for a felony, any felony, is 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we call a violation of the First Amendment to the Constitution, and the Constitution is the United States. So what we have is a rule in place, a law in place, that is illegal. And it should be a felony to have passed such a law.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, did you see the video of, or the interview with a BP insider that was that had his face, I think it was a woman, but she had her face masked out and her voice gobbled in. She didn't want to get fired, but she works in the call center and she did an interview saying that they're not, when people call in with their ideas, that they're not even taking notes on it. They just kind of, they're not passing along to anybody.
Yeah, they just sit there and say, uh-huh, okay, good, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. And she pretty much admitted that a lot of the people in the call center are sitting there making jokes at people when they call in and cracking jokes about them, like, oh, ha-ha, this guy's, what a stupid idea and all this. And it's so blatant. This whole thing is so blatant that it, you know, this reminds me a lot. It had some similarities to the whole paranormal thing that we talk about, because the way that they're doing this cover up is very similar to some of the topics we talk about, how they're so blatant about it. And then, and their stories are so stupid that it doesn't, you know,
the emperor has no clothes.
No clothes. All right, Kevin. Well, hey, I'll let the other callers come in. You have a good weekend, by the way.
All right.
Talk to you next week.
Thanks much. Yeah, the emperor really has no clothes. I mean, if you stand there and pretend that the emperor has clothes on this, you're as foolish as the emperor. The emperor's got no clothes. The spin stories, the lies, we all see through them. You know, that doesn't mean we know what the truth is, but we can tell when they're lying to us. And, you know, but it's really particularly disturbing that Congress seems to have the opinion that the First Amendment is optional. You have freedom of speech and freedom of the press as long as they say so. Now, those jackasses need to be fired. Caller, you are live on The Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
My name is Jeff. I'm calling from Montreal.
Hi, Jeff.
Kevin, I hope that you'll learn eventually to express yourself.
Believe me, I am holding back. You know, if I expressed myself in the terms that I learned to use when I was police officer and just talking with police officers, it really communicates, but it would be really illegal for me to do it over the radio.
As a former military soldier in the Canadian military, I concur and I understand, and I wish there were more peace officers, quote-unquote, like you, still on the beat, Kevin, because the brutality that I see every day and we all see or are confronted by on the internet, on TV, is just incredible. I think it's conditioning. I think it's preconditioning to get us to become desensitized to it and to accept the tyranny and the police state that is unfolding and that is coming down all around us. And I hate to sound like a, you know, fear-monger, because I'm not.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, there's a cure for it. And people just need to remember this. The cure works like this. If you want these, if you want, I call them Billy Badass with a badge. And if that's what you've run into Billy Badass with a badge, what you need to do is sue him, sue the supervisor, name them personally, sue the police chief or sheriff, and sue the municipality or the county, whoever is in charge. Now, you'll win. A lot of those cases, you'll win because they go to trial, and they go to trial in front of jurors that are also citizens, you see. Now, this just happened out in Arizona. There was a guy that was arrested and charged with the murder of his infant son. He was acquitted. They had no case. He didn't do it. He was found not guilty. However, his first night in jail, he was beaten severely by two of the deputies. He just won $900,000 judgment against them. All right. The reason I say you do this is because when you get anybody by their wallet, their mind is sure to follow.
Uh, 100% enjoying the show as usual, Kevin. Hopefully we can go up into space a little bit later on, perhaps before the end of the show, but I like it down here on Earth with you and the chat room. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks much. 623-444-5889. Yeah, look, you don't... Yeah. Come on. We're the employers. These people are employees. They are servants. And when they rise up in insubordination and rebellion against you, and you're the employer, fire them. You know, things are handled differently in different parts of the world. And that's truly the case with UFOs. And I ran across an interesting article. And by the way, the phone lines are open. If you want to call, it's open line. Bring your own topic. We'd love to hear from you. 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. Have some flash messages I'm going to get to in just a moment. In Montevideo, Uruguay, there was a UFO sighting, and photographs were taken of this. And the military began to investigate it. Now, just listen to the official statement. The official statement of the colonel in charge of this investigation. He says, his name is Colonel Ariel Sanchez. Now listen to this. We never rule out the extraterrestrial hypothesis, but we also know that they can be physical particles or light displays. So he's the Air Force chief. And he said, we never rule out the extraterrestrial hypothesis. Wow, that's different, isn't it? That sounds like an honest person. Okay, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, John from Canada.
Hi, John.
Hi. I'm thinking back to when you had Mr. Masters on as a guest.
Uh-huh.
And he really talked about the word meek.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't hear the whole show, but I always thought about meek as described in the Bible, the meek shall inherit the earth. And I wondered, well, okay, if that's true, why would that be? And the only reason I came up with would be the meek are intelligent enough to walk really lightly on the earth, and therefore, because they haven't done much damage, they're the most likely to inherit the earth. So that was my take on it.
Well, I think that would be a reasonable take on it. Now the word meek, and I'm trying to think of the Greek word that it comes from. I cannot think of it, but I have researched it previously. I just cannot at this moment think of the Greek word. But the definition of that, as used by the Greeks at the time, we would almost say the concept is like a gentle giant. The ability to absolutely stomp you into tomorrow, but the presence of mind and calmness of spirit to decide not to do that. Just, no, I'm not going to harm anybody. But the ability to do so. So they're not weak. And this is the concept that meek means weak is something that the West pasted on that. You want to hang on through the break?
Sure, yeah.
Yep, all right. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we have online with us John. John, I was saying that the idea that weakness is part of the word meek is a concept that the West developed. But the word means what the word means, not what we decided to make it mean. If we decide to call the color blue, we decide to call it orange. It's not. It's blue, and there's a definition for blue. And so, you know, meek is strength restrained by calm spirit.
Hi, Kevin.
Yeah.
I keep getting back to the reason why Mr. Masters chose the word meek, because I'm assuming it's related to the biblical text that says the meek shall inherit the earth.
Well, yeah, he quoted that.
Right. Okay. So whatever, however we decide what meek means, the key idea is the meek inheriting the earth. So however we define the meek, that's going to inherit the earth, and we're defining it right now. So that would give it like really critical importance as to how we see what meek means and where it comes from and why it should inherit the earth the way the Bible says. Like I find that so interesting. It's when I first read it, it caught my attention, and I just kept asking the question, well, why should the meek inherit the earth? What does inheriting the earth actually mean? And right now I'm relating it to the BP thing.
I think it's who's going to survive.
Well,
when it says inherit the earth, I think it means that's who's going to survive it all.
Right, and for anyone surviving what's going on now, it would take a tremendous amount of awareness and observation. You have to decide, like what's going down, what's happening now, and what am I going to do about it?
I agree with you. I agree. John, I want to thank you for the call. Very interesting. And I agree, awareness and observation and being tuned in to what's happening around us is very important. And we have to be meek about it. We have to realize that some things, it's like Jerry Will says, this chapter belongs to them. The next chapter belongs to us. And we have to realize, you know, okay, well, there's nothing I can really do in this chapter, but the next one is mine. All right, flash message from Bob in Australia. Hi, Kevin. What's your honest opinion about the oil spill? Do you think it was done on purpose by the New World Order, or could it be a mistake with no intent being done? Your comment is much sought after. All the best. You know, I really don't know. Intent is really hard to prove. What we can say is if this was not done intentionally, that they planned to make this oil spill happen, this oil gusher happen, if they didn't plan to do that, we can say that there is definitely criminal negligence involved. At least that's my opinion, okay? I don't know for sure about intent. Caller, hang on. We'll get to you right after this flash message. Ross in the United Kingdom. According to spaceweather.com, there's a huge sunspot coming into view that's apparently visible to the naked eye, even though you shouldn't do that. Looks a bit like a bear paw at the moment, and I hope it doesn't develop into Mr. Horak's serpent, but with the way things are going in the world, I wouldn't be too surprised. Okay, Ross, thank you for that information. I did not know that, but I will check that out. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, this is Leah from Tennessee.
Hello, Leah.
Hey, it's been a couple things, and I enjoy you so much. You always give us something really to think about.
Well, good. That's the purpose of the show, is to make us think.
Well, it does it.
Good.
And the pieces you bring together is amazing. The show last night.
Yeah.
And with the Yemen and what was going on there, and I don't think it was too much of a coincidence having the oil gusher happening at the same time that was going on. That really took the attention off Yemen.
It did.
And then plus what you were talking about with the Ark.
Uh-huh.
And that correlating with you know, thinking maybe they found it, and then all of a sudden the archaeologists are kicked out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, did they open it? Wait, you know, if something is going to come through, or they're going through. But what when you correlated it with Indiana Jones,
mm-hmm.
you know how the thing came out and got all the bad guys?
Yeah.
Now, wouldn't that be justice?
It would be justice, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It really would. I just know I'm not going to be standing anywhere near it when they open it.
Yeah. Well, they talk about happen go through any of these doorways, like you talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And they're supposed to be, like, you have to have a certain frequency, and the Bible talked about having to have, like, the pure heart and all this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, if something came through like that and they didn't have that, that would pretty much do the trick, wouldn't it?
It would. I don't think anybody has gotten their hands on the Ark yet. I think if they had, we would already know.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think if they did get it, it was probably imitation, but you said it yourself. When they did try to rebuild it, it still had power.
Yeah.
So they still maybe do it, even if it's just a copy of it.
Mm-hmm.
Might work. If they found some pyramid or some kind of gateway near Yemen, they might be trying it.
They may be. They may be.
With everybody looking at the Gulf, nobody's going to know it, you know.
Well, I can tell you one thing. Whoever messes around, if they find that Ark and they mess around with it, or they build an exact copy and mess around with it, they're messing around with some power they don't really understand.
Exactly.
And you can't control it.
And obviously, we don't know enough to be messing around with that.
You know, it caused a lot of different things to happen There's a place, you know, several places where somebody touched it and they were struck dead. But there is an army that captured it one time, and after a few days they brought it back. And the reason they brought it, they didn't bring it back, they put it on a cart and had it drawn by oxen and just sent it on its way towards the Israelite camp. Now, this may, you may laugh at this, but here is what the story is. This army was an army of horsemen. Okay, they fought from horseback. And when they captured the ark, they were all struck with hemorrhoids. And they couldn't ride their horses. Now, that's in the Bible.
Yeah.
And they said, you know, this thing's a pain in the butt. And so they sent it back to the Israelites. So some people died when they fooled with the ark, and some people just got hemorrhoids.
Well, you know, our government always just like to shoot first, ask questions later, and do all these, like the golf, and doing things they know that can't work and do it anyway, and use, you know, they do things before they know what it's going to, what it's, they're playing with things they don't know enough about. And so it's got to backfire on them. The problem is we all are here to get it too.
Yeah. Well, if you see a bunch of world leaders walking funny, you know they found the ark.
Well, you can't even feel bad. If something happened like they did in the movie, you can't. All you'd have to do is laugh. And go, well, oh, well.
Yeah. Oh, well.
They ought to send it down to the government so it can start all over and get all that. Bilderbergers and stuff.
Yeah, open it up at a Bilderberger meeting.
Yeah.
Leah, I've got to run. We're at the end of the show, but thanks.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, that's a wrap for tonight and for the week. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too, and you can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.